right, well, before we get to the camp wrap-up, I'm going to preach a very abbreviated sermon, and I'm actually going to wrap up our current sermon series on truths that matter and also our sermon series on the Holy Spirit. Over the last month or so, we've been talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And last week what we did is we talked about how, the first service sermon was on how the Spirit will sanctify us and set us apart so that we're holy. Before we left on our vacation, we talked about how the Holy Spirit guides us. Holy Spirit guides us into truth, into the right thoughts and feelings and emotions. And then last Sunday, we talked about how the Holy Spirit, how we live with the Holy Spirit. There are things that we're not supposed to do, and there's something that we are supposed to do. We are not supposed to grieve, quench, or contaminate the Holy Spirit, but we are supposed to be filled with the Spirit. And so today we're going to talk about the last ministry of the Holy Spirit, at least that we're going to talk about. There's obviously more, and that is the unifying work of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I'm preaching this first is because if we get this in our minds, as we hear some of the kids and some of the campers and some of the adults talking about their ministry experience of a camp, you might see that, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit, the unifying work of the Holy Spirit, was present in them as well. Now, my wife and I, we did not go to camp. We don't go every year. Sometimes we all go as a family. And so we kind of got to enjoy some time alone. And even though I wasn't at camp, I know what happened at camp. Like, in general, big terms. What happened at camp was something like this. Over the course of time, everyone's minds, the kids and the adults, they slowly shifted from their own problems, the own things that are going on in their own lives, and it slowly shifted to focusing more on God and who He is. And it takes a week to really kind of remove yourself from the cares of this world for you to really experience something powerful. Satan wants you and me to focus on ourselves, to focus on our flesh. But the Spirit wants us to focus on what matters most, and that is what He has done for us and the hope that we have for Him, with Him. And so one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to bring unity among believers so that we can experience those things. We're going to look at a few different passages today. And the first one is in John chapter 17. And as we see what Jesus is praying the night before He was betrayed, He is praying that when the Holy Spirit comes, that all the believers, not only then, but also today, that we would be one, that we would experience unity with each other. So let's read what Jesus prays for. John 17, beginning in verse 20. It says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved me even as you loved me. God wants the world to seek Him. God wants the world to repent of their sins. God wants all of those things. And one of the ways that God gets that is by having you and me as His children to be one in our faith. And so the Spirit will unite us with each other to demonstrate God's grace and truth. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at a couple different passages. Our primary passage is in Ephesians chapter 4. You can turn there in your Bibles. I'll have this up on the screen. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, this teaches us about the unity of the Spirit that we're supposed to maintain. And then also, this is, you know, we're going through our doctrinal statement. We're kind of concluding our doctrinal statement. And right here in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6, if that was our doctrinal statement by itself, that'd probably be sufficient. This is kind of a great doctrinal statement about the truths of our faith and the ones of our faith. But let's go ahead and read this passage here, Ephesians 4. Paul writes and he says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And verse 3 is the key verse for this morning. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, especially when it relates to the unity that the Holy Spirit is trying to work within us to maintain, there's one word in particular in that six-verse section that should jump out off the screen, and it should probably kind of hit you a little more than the other words. And that's the same word that I found, and that is the word for eager. In verse 3, the last slide, I'm not going to go back there, but the word for eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit, it's the Greek word spoudazo. It sounds more Italian than Greek, doesn't it? Spoudazo. It's kind of like an Italian meal, but spoudazo means to make haste or to exert oneself or to be diligent to do something. And so Paul tells us to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Now, this is the ESV. I want to show you verse 3 from the New Living Translation. I really like how the New Living Translation translates verse 3. It says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. And you look at that verse, and let's all have a moment of honesty. How eager are you and I to maintain unity with other believers? Do we make this a top priority in our life? It says, make every effort. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit that God has given to all of us. Well, effort's hard, and so you have to ask the question, is it worth the effort? Is it worth doing this? Making sure that we're united with other believers and brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, also in our passage for today, Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, it does give us two main benefits that we're going to look at. If we are eager, and if we are making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit, then you and I are going to benefit in these two ways. So let me give you the first way. The first benefit belonging to the unity of the Spirit is that when we maintain that unity, then our minds are focused on what matters most. The first benefit is up here, our minds. Our minds have to be focused on what matters most. When we get to the point where we are putting in effort to have unity with other believers, it can only be because there is a truth that is greater and more permanent than the preferences and opinions that you and I have at any given moment. We have to put those aside, not completely ignore them, and we all have to agree that there is something that binds us together. It is a truth that is more important than the things of the here and now. Verse 4 of Ephesians 4 gives us kind of a hint into what unites us, these truths that unite us. In verse 4, he says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, there's a few ones in that passage, and we could spend probably an entire Sunday talking about each of those. But right in the middle there, it says that there is one hope, that you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Hope is such a powerful thing in all of our lives, because every day we hope for something. Every day, hope kind of fuels us into the future. Right now, all of us have many different hopes. Like right now, you're hoping that the meal that you eat right after the service is going to be good, right? You hope that when we sing songs here at church, that they're inspiring and uplifting to you, and more importantly, that we're able to worship God. We hope that we're going to see certain people in the future. For those of us who are in our working years, you hope that you might get a raise or get that promotion at work that you've been looking forward to. We also hope that maybe our favorite team is going to win a certain game. And the thing is, about all these things that we hope for, as wonderful as they can be, every time one of those hopes gets fulfilled and it comes to fruition, what happens? We keep hoping. It's not like we're completely satisfied. We keep hoping. There's always something else that we're hoping in. So, Paul says that there's this one hope that belongs to our call. What is this one hope that he's talking about that should unite us as believers? And I will say this, I do not believe that Paul is thinking about something very specific about the one hope, but rather this one hope is kind of a broad, complex idea of all these things that God is doing in the world. And so let me just put it this way. This one hope that belongs to the call that you and I have in our life is that God is one day going to redeem and restore everything back to its original condition, and Christ is going to reign supreme. And because of our faith in him, we get to participate in these future events. That is the hope that belongs to our call. Fortunately, Paul kind of elaborates on this hope in different passages. So let's quickly go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18. Here he talks about this hope, this big picture of hope. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption, our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." Verse 24, "For in this hope we were saved." So this is our hope. "Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." And so, when it tells us that we should be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, that's only possible when we allow the Holy Spirit to focus our minds on this hope that we have. This hope is so much more important than any of the differences that we experience in this life. And so, the Spirit unifies us through truth. He unifies us by having us focus on truths that are more important, and this hope is one of those great things. Well, let's go on to the second point, and that is this. A second benefit is more about the present and what we can experience now. So a second benefit of the unifying ministry of the Holy Spirit is that our hearts get to enjoy the peace and fellowship that God's grace provided for us. Let me say that again, especially for those of you who are taking notes. The unity of the Spirit helps our hearts to enjoy the peace and the fellowship that God's grace has provided for us. And we see that in Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner of worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Verse 2 kind of describes what this unity looks like. "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." It is hard to see a relationship fall apart. Whether it's a relationship that you're in or a relationship between other people. And there's lots of relationships that fall apart. And it's difficult when you see two people, they get so caught up in something that went wrong and they dig their heels in. And instead of forgiving each other and being patient with each other, they say, "I have been wronged and I am not going to give an inch until the other person acknowledges that they have wronged me." You know, we get offended and we have pride, and that can destroy and disintegrate any kind of relationship. And God has given us every possibility to have all of our relationships be healthy as far as if we're walking according to what God has taught us. But instead, if true believers, listen, if we're eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, then guess what we will see in the lives of other believers? We will see what it says here in verse 2. We will see humility. And we will see gentleness. And we will see patience. And we will see people bearing with one another in love. Now, does that kind of exist in the perfect relationships that you want? I think all of us want that in our relationships. When we are eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit, this is how we will treat each other. And just like with the first point, Paul kind of elaborates a little bit more on this in Philippians chapter 2. So we'll just read this passage really quick. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. He says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit," meaning that we're agreeing to work along with the Holy Spirit, "any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." This is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. If we are allowing the Holy Spirit to have control of our lives, we will experience this unifying work of the Holy Spirit, and we will treat people this way. We'll really get to enjoy the fellowship and peace that God's grace has given to us. You know, one of the best things about camp, we're kind of transitioning into our camp wrap-up right now, is camp can provide a very powerful and unifying experience for kids and adults, that, and they experience this unity and this bond among them that can last literally for years and sometimes even decades. Kind of helps if they get away from everything for a week and they really get a bond together. If we could all go to camp, it would be wonderful. If we could all take a week off, although if we all went to camp as adults, I'll speak for all of us, I think we'd want the accommodations to be a little more comfortable than they are up there for the kids. And we'd want the food to be better too, right? The camp food's okay, but it's not what we all probably want. But we can't experience, listen, you and I as true believers in Christ, we cannot experience the unity that God wants us to with each other if we are not making every effort to spend time with each other. Sunday mornings, it's just scratching the surface. We have to be committed to spending time with each other, have mutual experiences. That's the only way that we can have this unity that God wants us to have. And also, we can't experience this unity if we allow Satan to trick us into being offended by each other all the time. There are some things that don't matter in this life, and we need to focus our thoughts on the things that truly do matter, including the hope that God has called us to. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to listen to this camp wrap-up. We're going to watch a couple videos. You're going to hear from some of the campers and some of the adults. And what I want you to do is I want you not only to listen to what they're saying, but listen for a little evidence that the Holy Spirit was at work in their life. And that maybe they were also able to experience the unifying work of the Holy Spirit. And also, I want to close with one last comment to you. We haven't spent too much time talking about this morning, but ask yourselves this very serious question. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, to what extent right now in your life are you making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit that God has died to give us? All right, well, let's watch a video, and then we'll talk about camp.